Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Okay. So today we'll just continue. If anyone didn't get one of the handouts yet, then I have them here. Yeah, let me take some. Yeah, so anyone for handouts, there are more here on the table. So yesterday we gave a little introduction about this transcendental drama named the Chaitanya Chandodaya Natak, written by Srila Kavi Karnapur, a great intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we spoke yesterday about the first act where there is a long discussion between the personification of Kali and Adharma, or irreligion. And there it is, it was clearly concluded that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that his presence will destroy the influence of Kali, and that there's no way that Kali has any chance. Finally, there was the end of the act with the Mahaprakash Lila, or the pastime where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time revealed himself as the Supreme Lord. He was seated on the altar in the house of Srivas and was going through a bathing ceremony with all the devotees. And then we went to the second act, and today we'll read the summary of that act. Act number two, the darshan of all incarnations. Renunciation comes on stage in a mood of lamentation and in a deplorable condition. No good qualities are found in anyone. All we see is lip service only. Everywhere he encounters deviant philosophy, yogis who turn out to be demons, Brahmins in Sattvagun who are Mayavadis. In due course of time, he meets Bhakti, who gives him new hope and conviction that by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything will be restored. Bhakti gives a description of the miracles that are happening in Navadvip. Devotional service is everywhere, and all kinds of people are taking to it. He performs amazing pastimes and manifests most blissful forms. Renunciation asked, "Will he be my shelter? Will he protect me?" The answer is, "Yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental bliss, who has form, who is simultaneously all-pervading and localized in a certain place, and eternally enjoys pastimes, is the shelter of renunciation." They exit the stage. Next, a pastime takes place where Advaita Acharya has an internal vision of the Supreme Lord, and both Lord Chaitanya and Srivas are present. So afterwards, they discuss the experience. So that is more or less the summary of the second act, and we'll continue to discuss a little more on the second act. Just put this in the pocket. So. So yesterday we were reading that the brahmanas, they're interested only in their sixth duty, accepting charity, and Sudras think themselves great scholars and eager to become gurus and teach the truth of religion. Brahmacharis are only so because they cannot marry. And sannyasis are different from others only in clothes. So these were some of the weaknesses that renunciation encounters in this age. That no one is really serious anymore. So he's looking for some sincere and serious people. He finds brahmanas, and he says almost from their very birth, again and again, they say designation, social class, logical inference, universal principle, and a host of words like them, staying far away from talk of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thinking whoever is most expert at logic is the wisest. These logicians think their speculation are the only scripture. So at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Navadvip was filled with such kind of brahmanas. Brahmanas who were caste brahmanas, smarta brahmanas, brahmanas by birth, who were spending their time specifically arguing on logic, on nyaya. Right. They were studying these kind of nyaya scriptures, and these were their kinds of words. So in modern times, we also have what people call buzzwords, right? We have our favorite words now. I don't know if I should mention any. Maybe not. It gets too touchy. But someone stated, I read that the other day, that the person who had the greatest influence on this age was apparently Sigmund Freud, right? On the surface, it is certainly so, right? That we are living in the age of psychology, and now all the terms that are entering are also psychology, sharing, and, you know, I was somewhere and there was a whole debate that you can't say preaching, you know, that's not like this age, you don't say that. It's all sharing now, right? Now it's become sharing. Of course, Prabhupada said preaching, and definitely didn't say sharing. Although he was very kindly sharing many things with us. But sometimes Prabhupada also didn't want to share, right? Sometimes when the devotees wanted to share too much with Prabhupada, then and asked him, Prabhupada, what is your relationship with Krishna? What is your rasa? Then Prabhupada would not share that, right? Rather say, that you do not require. So in this way, preaching is now a word which has become outdated, but it's still one of Prabhupada's favorite words. Whatever may be. So here, at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the brahmanas were also very busy with being brahmanas, but they forgot being devotees of the Lord. So again, this is depicting the whole mood of, there's a little list now following of different personalities, and all of them are having the same defect. And the conclusion sums it all up. Basically, it's all external. Right. It's all external. Yeah. And we keep on reading a little more. So he's looking and looking, and finally he thinks he's found some really nice people, some brahmanas who are actually really in the mode of goodness. Renunciation is happy. Finally has found some people who are having all the qualities of the mode of goodness. They're simple, they're renounced, they're clean. They appear to be very honest and cultured in their behavior. But there's only one problem. They are Mayavadis. Hello. Slight little disturbance there. What can be done? So he again walks away from this place, goes towards the south of India. There he finds so many Jains, Buddhists, naked yogis, ferocious atheists, Shaivites, ghosts, right, and all kinds of creatures like that. And again, no shelter. He finds some holy man who is sitting on a rock and meditating. And he's thinking, oh, let me see. Sitting in a yoga posture by the riverbank, his eyes closed, and expertly stopping with the tip of his tongue the nectar moonlight flowing from within his forehead, he meditates. What broke his meditation? Oh, it's the tinkling conch shell ornaments of a young girl fetching water. So again, like his meditation was not so deep, right? So no one can meditate. All these things are just not working. It may be going on, but actually, where is the success? So in this way, he's looking everywhere. He finds some person who is very austere, and he is sitting there with a big crowd of people around him, and he's calling out Om, Om, in a sharp and bitter voice, keeping the crowd away with a cruel stare, lifting his feet high as he walks with long strides, his forehead, arms, neck, stomach, and chest smeared with clay, and grasping Kusa's dress in his hands. He's like pride personified. What arrogance. So he's describing again another type of sadhu. We can see sometimes in the Kumbh Mela, we see a gathering of so many sadhus, and then there is every year the parade of the sadhus, and we're seeing all the sadhus are coming in riding on elephants, and it's a big thing. But it doesn't at all have a mood of humility, which is present in the Vaishnava. It has a mood of the power of the sadhu. So this is what we sometimes also encounter. And Kavikarnapur says, simply demons. Therefore, his conclusion is that without pure devotional service to Lord Vishnu, expert meditation, samadhi, faith, scripture study, good works, japa, and austerity are like an actor's expert playing on a stage. So there he clearly sums it up. A few paragraphs later on, he says that in this age of Kali, there is not the slightest trace of spiritual life. There is no real substance, only decoration. So that is a nice point which I would like to just start to spend a little time on board today. So the conclusion of renunciation is that there is in the age of Kali no substance, only decoration. And I think for us also something relevant to consider how much we are actually affected by this syndrome of going for the externals. Because even our movement has also enough of a history of doing so many things for the external appearance, and but truly going deep inside. Therefore, we can see that we are not beyond the influence of Kali at all. Although many times we're speaking that we are having a process which is transcendental. We have literature that's transcendental. We have the holy name that's transcendental. We have temples that are transcendental. But are we transcendental? That question comes up many times. So after Kavikarnapur has basically here pointed out that there are no more serious practices, there is no more renunciation, it is totally becoming depleted in this age and only an external affair. Well, finally then, a meeting takes place between renunciation and devotional service, bhakti personified. And it is described how bhakti is still totally alive. So renunciation is very surprised to find that bhakti is still living, is not in the same condition he is in. Right? What is it? And of course, bhakti explains that it is because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually how the meeting took place, it is... renunciation has been directed by a heavenly voice towards Navadvip. But he doesn't know what Navadvip is to him. It's just the place. But there in Navadvip he meets bhakti. And bhakti is there totally flourishing. It is said that bhakti is now present in every home in Navadvip. All the people in Navadvip are somehow or other taking it up by the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, it says devotional service begins to explain. The translator says devotional service, so I also say now devotional service. And it says that in Navadvip there is not a person. whose home is not a temple, of Lord Hari. So this is amazing. I mean, where do you find such a place where every house is a temple, and not just a temple, but of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he said, there's no temple without a deity of the Lord. And then he says that and there's no deity that is not carefully served. And then he says, on the fourth point, that there's no service that is not done with the nectar of love. He says that, and there's no love that is not expressed through sankirtan and dancing. No love expressed. Okay, without sankirtan and dancing. So in that way, we're seeing how there's a progression in quality, and what a high quality Lord Chaitanya is bringing about. And in that way, he has listed very nicely how in devotional service, what is the true quality of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Not just that everyone accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just that everyone is religiously worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but everyone is really carefully serving the Supreme Lord with attention. And not only that, but it's done with love. And that love always manifests with sankirtan and dancing. And in that way, he gives a very, very nice description of the quality of devotional service in Navadvipa. So next, we find a description given by Bhakti about what's going on. Bhakti is informing devotional service what's happening in Navadvip and is explaining that in the house of Srivas, amazing things are going on. Sometimes in Srivas's home, sometimes in Acharyaratna's home, sometimes in Vijayaniti's home, or sometimes in Murari's home, filled with bliss, with bodily hairs erect, stunt, shedding tears, covered with perspiration, and manifesting many symptoms of ecstasy, every day, as his dear associates sing again and again, the Lord dances. And in this way, then, it is described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting as a devotee, but not just as an ordinary devotee, but as a devotee who has realized all these stages and is experiencing great ecstasy in the house of Srivas Thakur. So the question is asked by renunciation, well, is the Lord always acting as a devotee, or does he sometimes also reveal his transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord? So then a story follows, and it says, well, one day in the home of Srivas there was a Muslim tailor, and he was a real drunk, this tailor. He was always drinking wine, and every day he would just be there, his eyes totally red from too much alcohol, and then he would just be sewing the clothes. So one day, this drunken Muslim tailor stared at Lord Vishwambar, and the sight of the Lord made him more intoxicated than any wine. With wide open eyes, he called out, "I have seen! I have seen!" He trembled. The hairs of his body stood erect. Tears flowing from his eyes bathed his chest. Throwing down his sewing, he raised his arms and began to dance. Seeing this, the Lord in instant said, all of a sudden this person has become if celebrating a great festival. Huh? Of course, Srivas was agreeing that it was a great festival. Anyway, it said that that Muslim tailor after that became like a very dedicated devotee. And although he was still a Muslim mendicant and others would beat him, okay, nonetheless, he was everywhere glorifying Lord Chaitanya, and he became like one of the most dedicated devotees of the Lord. So here it's given as an example, like how Lord Chaitanya then sometimes also was recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by some. Of course, there are many pastimes where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his identity as the Supreme Lord. It's important that the point is made. Kavi Karnapur is basically in this drama sketching the main ingredients of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes on this planet. So it's not exactly like a chronological a depiction of all the different pastimes, although there is a certain chronology in the whole thing, but he's taking certain major elements. And the element that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he comes in this world in the mood of Bhakta Rupa, or as the one who acts out the role of a devotee, at other times he's revealing his transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord. So in that way, this element also is illustrated here. But most of the time, whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being recognized by others as the Supreme Lord, he would cover his ears, say, "Vishnu, Vishnu, how can one say such a thing?" And he would object against such a statement. The act continues, and at the end, there is a vision which is seen by Advaita Acharya. What Advaita Acharya basically sees, he sees how from the body of Lord Chaitanya a dark form appears, right? And this dark form, which is the same like Lord Chaitanya, it's Lord Chaitanya, but a dark form of Lord Chaitanya. And that very dark form of Lord Chaitanya is just emanating from his body, and then it comes towards Advaita Acharya, and it just enters into his heart. And at that point, he's entering into ecstatic consciousness. He stands there, totally stunned, and great symptoms, all his hairs on end, tears from the eyes and all that. And Srivas is witnessing the whole thing, and he's just saying, "What is he seeing? Right? What is he seeing?" And he wants to know. So then Lord Chaitanya agrees to, he said, "Okay, I will withdraw that form now. So I will disappear again from it." So suddenly Advaita is coming to his external consciousness and sees, where is that form gone? And he's still in a very ecstatic state, but not seeing that same four anymore. So he begins to speak again, and then reveals what he basically saw. Of course, then Lord Chaitanya is saying, "Well, he must have been dreaming." Right? And Advaita Acharya is saying, "No, it was dreaming in a waking state." Right? And then Srivas is also seeing it, and then Lord Chaitanya says, "What's wrong with you? Are you also dreaming?" That, "Yes, I have the same dreams." Right? So you cannot hide your transcendental glories. So that is the end of this act. There are plenty of other things described before it gets to that. It is described that also in Srivas Angan, the Lord showed his form to the devotees, and he showed many forms. It said one day the Lord... suddenly there was the fragrance of wine made from kadamba flowers, a very sweet kind of liquor. That fragrance began to pervade the entire atmosphere, and at that time Lord Balaram appeared with a plow and a club, and so it was actually Lord Vishvambar who now had appeared in this mood of Balaram. And he took different forms. Later on, it says he took the form of Buddha, Varaha, Nisringa, and other incarnations. And it was going on throughout the whole day. At the end of the day, he finally revealed his six-armed form to Lord Nityananda. So now, here, we're getting details in the play which are no longer play. These are not the products of a playwright who is simply using his imagination and producing various ideas. Here, he's actually recording some of the historical pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, this Chaitanya Chandradoy Natak is much more than a drama. It is simply the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of a drama. So here in this particular seminar, we're not so concerned with the drama aspect of the presentation. We're interested in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and whatever we can find out about him is wonderful. So obviously there are many details given here that we don't find described in the same way elsewhere. Although we find similarities, we find references in other biographies, but we find a lot here. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I mentioned it yesterday, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is referring to the Chaitanya Chandradoy Natak as authorized scripture. So it's not just some dramatic narration, but we are taking it as actual scripture. So after this whole manifestation of all these different forms that Lord Chaitanya is manifesting there, he finally ends with the form of Sadbhuj, the six-armed form of the Lord, the two arms of Lord Ramachandra, the two arms of Lord Krishna, and the two arms of Lord Chaitanya, each holding their paraphernalia, Lord Ramachandra, bow and arrow, Krishna, the flute, and Lord Chaitanya, the water pot and the danda of the sannyas. So it is said that, here it mentions, that this, some say that with these six arms, the Sadbhuj form, you kill the six enemies of this world. So yesterday we mentioned these six enemies, which are quite well known to most of us. But still I'll write them down quickly. So it said that worshipping the form of Sadbhuj, the six-armed form of the Lord, will actually destroy these six enemies. It's one of the benefits. So that's an interesting point. And And it said, it's also with these six arms, you give devotional service and love of God and the four goals of life. Right? So the four goals of life are known as Dharma, Karma, and Moksha. So anyway, these four are I mentioned as the result coming from the worship of these forms, and then it said you will get devotional service and love of God. So that those last two are specifically coming from the two arms of Lord Chaitanya. So again, it says if one worships the other incarnations of the Lord, then most of the time will not become anywhere beyond these four, which are, of course, condemned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Second verse, Dharma Projita Kaitava Utra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Suttam. It speaks about Kaitava Dharma, which is really referring to these four, which, because the type of religion that is discussed here is the religion of the activities of Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda. Karma Kanda here, Jnana Kanda there, the activities that give material benefits, but not the eternal goal of life, which is devotional service and love of God. So then it says that there, in this city of Navadvip, there are three kinds of men. Some are completely attached to the Lord. Some are completely attached to the Lord, and others moderately attached. To the Lord. And three, and some are neither attached to the Lord. Detached from the world. So these three categories were described as living in Navadvip at that time. Of course, such kind of people are not only living in Navadvip, such kind of people you would find anywhere in the world, although this category may be difficult to find. Moderately attached, yes. And we can, of course, look ourselves where we belong in which of the three categories. And for many of us, it may be going up and down between two and three. The reason why these three are mentioned in the play is also to introduce the next pastime that's taking place, where not everyone in Navadvip could recognize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Nimai was certainly an extraordinary person, he was a great scholar, he was expert in Sanskrit grammar. No one was as expert as Nimai Pandit. Amongst the students, he was unique. So he was with this group of students, but then sometimes he was a devotee, although at that time he was acting in a covered capacity. So here in the covered capacity, Nimai is acting out his pastimes. He's walking with different students. Seeing him, his clothing still wet from his bath in the Ganges, walking through the city street, one student would chant the very sweet name of the Lord. Another would recite a nectarian verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and another would sing a beautiful song of devotional love. Falling to the street by hearing this, his wet clothing turning the dust of the street to mud, his limbs covered with mud, the mud on his chest washed by his tears, and his form like the great splendor of lightning, flashes embraced by a vine of restless ecstasy, he would roll about on the ground. Seeing him in this state, his student companions, tainted with youthful insolence, would laugh and raise a commotion. And Mother Sachi, it said, although she was very wise, she would bitterly weep when she would hear about all this. Right? So in this way, Lord Chaitanya at that time is performing pastimes. But nobody realizes that this is all devotional ecstasy. They're just thinking Nimai has some sort of epileptic fits, right? And we know many scholars make a make a point about this, the epileptic tendencies. And we're seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once was with a few associates traveling, some devotees from Bengal, some devotees from Rajasthan. And at that point, there were these Pathan soldiers, Turkish soldiers. No, Pathan means Afghanistan. Pathan soldiers that came, very big, powerful soldiers. And these Pathan soldiers, they saw Lord Chaitanya lying unconscious, surrounded by some people. So they thought, this person has been robbed, right? So they were acting in the mood of police force. So they said, he has been robbed. They must have given him some drug, probably Datura, and that's why he has foam in his mouth. You can see it. And therefore they thought, yes, we will arrest these people. And they were just doing that. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external senses. And then he explained, no, these are my associates. And I'm suffering from epileptic fits, right? So oftentimes it's taken like by mundane scholars, oh, he had these tendencies. That's unfortunate. Such scholars are oftentimes much more expert than we are in analyzing the technical aspects of a text, and do very well on that, but then may get lost in these externals, right, and miss the whole point of devotional ecstasy. So I met someone who said, oh, Kavi Karnapur, he was more academic. Right? Someone said to me, oh, Kavi Karnapur was more an academic kind of person. So I don't know who had portrayed Kavi Karnapur as an academic, but Kavi Karnapur is just the opposite of an epidemic. an academic. He is a totally... it's a Freudian slip. He is a total ecstatic person. The entire book is written from the ecstatic platform. Maybe my presentation is not so ecstatic. What can I do? I lack the qualifications. But if you really see where Kavi Karnapur is at, right, in this book, he is totally overwhelmed. And he very much captures in a very condensed form the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not just randomly picking out a few pastimes to spice up his play, but there is a whole deep meditation behind it. So like I listed these four types of, or three types of personalities that were present in Navadvip, obviously we are seeing that in Navadvip there were also persons who were neither attached to the Lord, neither detached from the Lord. Because we are gradually leading up to the point where these students later on will start criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Already here, there are students who are not understanding his position. And later on, there will be students who cannot understand that Nimai Pandit is in transcendental consciousness. And when he one day chants Gopi, 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 they say, what mantra is this? What scripture does he get this from? Now look at that. This is off the wall. Not understanding that at that point he was in a deep internal state of trance. So the whole fight comes out of this because the students, they told him to stop saying Gopi, Gopi, and they said he should say Krishna, Krishna. But at that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a mood where he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, very upset with Krishna, who was unreliable. Krishna sometimes acts in that way, that he neglects one gopi for another as such. And in this mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to hear the name Krishna. And he did not want to hear the name Krishna. And finally, therefore, when the students insisted that he would chant the name of Krishna, then he became so angry that he grabbed the stick and chased them. So later it was a big thing. It was a whole riot in the student community. And all the students came back to retaliate. And it was for that reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So, 5 minutes to 12. Or I should maybe ask for reactions, if there are reactions from your side, questions or comments.
Just in regards to chanting.
Yeah.
It seems to be kind of in now, books being used and other people are being talked about, you know, including one's chanting.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, techniques.
Yeah, alpha waves. Yeah.
But in the prayer, you know, the prayer to be able to hear the holy name, to be able to fix the mind, to be able to please accept me, do those qualify as being the servants of the holy name?
I guess one can pray to Krishna for facility to serve him. So if it is done in that spirit that we want to serve the holy name, then it can be done. Vyasaki.
Yeah, I never liked these mechanical arrangements that arranged, you know, chant the holy name. Nothing mentioned
to read
some of these books that are out there.
Yeah. No, it's not a mechanical process. Yeah, holy name. Yeah, it's outrageous.
it's too bad.
nice. Yes.
Mechanical.
Yeah. It's weird writing on a board. No, you don't see what you're writing. The point is that it's. The holy name is Krishna, and it is said everything will come from the holy name. Now, at the same time, we can do things also to enhance our chanting, because hearing enhances chanting. And the more one hears about Krishna and his qualities and the way he is, the more nice it becomes to chant that name. If you just don't know what it's all about, you have to chant that name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's one thing. And then the whole thing becomes somehow or other fixing the mind on that impossible name, right? And the mind never wants to go there. It's like a bar of soap. It slips away every time from your attention. But if the more we know how wonderful Krishna is, the more we'll also be actually thinking about Krishna when we're chanting. So it's not like that you have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then have a picture here on the wall to think of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I'm chanting and I have my picture so that I think of Krishna. It's just more, the more we understand who Krishna is, automatically when you say Krishna, you'll think of whatever you know about Krishna. Right? It's natural. It's not that Krishna is just a word and it's separate from your understanding who Krishna is. So therefore, the more we understand about Krishna, the more we naturally will be able to concentrate in chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, the hearing can really enhance our concentration, and that is something we can do beyond just chanting and waiting for the mercy to come. You know, that's one aspect, is you just chant and you wait till and you try to avoid offenses and all that, and then hope that one day Krishna will reveal himself. But by hearing about Krishna, we also become more and more we go more deep in our chanting at the same time. Yeah. Thank you both. Very nice. It's 12 o'clock. I guess we should just stop and give it a break. And we're going too slow, so I have to truck along tomorrow. But I hope that so far you like the Chaitanya Chandradur Natak. I did. And okay, it's not, in terms of a presentation, a seminar, yesterday I was kind of checking it out and I began to realize it's not so interactive. Nowadays, you know, everything has to be a seminar and it all has to be interactive. It's not interactive. You're supposed to be shot down, right, off the stage, right? But I found out that this one is just not so interactive. Because we're sticking to a text. We're trying to discuss a text, and it just doesn't... Sometimes there are points, obviously, that can, but... So today I went less interactive, and I felt a lot better while speaking today than yesterday. So I hope it's okay if I go on in this way. Not so interactive, but what can I do? Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. You know, I actually like the Bhagavatam, and then that, what do you call that page on the inside again? What's it called? There's a term. Huh? End paper, that's right, the end paper. The end paper of the Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami is sitting and all the sages are at the Ganges. That's my favorite forum for discussing Krishna Katha. You know, I don't like stages. I don't like flip charts. I'm a nerd. I don't like all these chairs. I don't like any of that. Of course, it's bad weather here, and for that reason, it makes sense. So I'm not objecting. I'm all for it. But when it comes to being interactive, I guess I'm just useless at it. So my apologies for that. But I hope you'll bear with me. And that we'll go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita Natak, and that you'll get something out of it. And, yeah, some interesting points, and that you'll take it up in your collection of authorized biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has something to offer, some perspectives to offer on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are valuable to us. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, of Sri Chaitanya. Seeing this,